Hi everyone and welcome to the episode number 4 of our podcast, Better Safe Than Sorry. I'm Nico Capitoni, Cyber Practice Head at Wipro, and I'm your host for the series. As I mentioned previously, I'm inviting global cyber leads to discuss about strategic topics such as trends, impact on new concepts, regulation, talent retention, and more through a one-on-one discussion. And guess what? I'm only interested in their own personal view. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Florian Bouchard, Senior Information Security Officer at Georg Fischer. If you don't know the company, Georg Fischer is a company founded in 1802 in Schaffhausen, Switzerland. It operates today in 45 countries, including 76 production sites. Georg Fischer is a partner for the safe transport of liquids and gases. Since 2021, Florian has been managing risks and requirements for both IT and OT environments. He has also participated in various keynotes and panels across 3 cybersecurity events. Florian, thank you so much for accepting my invite. How are you today?
I feel very well today. Thank you, Nico.
After speaking with a lot of CISOs and security leads, I consistently hear the same feedback on Zero Trust. Zero Trust is likely to be the best strategy in cybersecurity. So I'm interested to get your view on this, Florian.
Before we start, I like to quickly mention that all my expressions in this podcast are related to personal experience and as such independent from Georg Fischer or Wipro. Coming to your question, if you ask various vendors, Zero Trust is often used as a marketing buzzword to sell a range of products or solutions. This is largely because there is no universally accepted standard that defines exactly what Zero Trust is or how it should be implemented. As a result, the definition and scope can vary significantly from one vendor to another. For some, Zero Trust might focus heavily on identity management and access controls, while others might emphasize network segmentation or endpoint security. But the key principle remains the same: never trust, always verify. From my point of view, Zero Trust should be seen as a comprehensive strategy rather than just a tool or product. As such, I see it as an extension to well-known security principles like, for example, defense in depth or least privilege. At its core, any Zero Trust strategy operates under the assumption that threats could come from inside or outside the company, and therefore trust should never be implicitly granted, even for internal networks, users or devices. In order to perform actions like a system logon or modifying data, different trust conditions like user authentication with multiple factors need to be checked. Organizations should adopt strategy holistically, incorporating authentication, least privilege access, and continuous monitoring across their entire infrastructure to reduce risks. That said, it's important to acknowledge that implementing Zero Trust everywhere is not always feasible. Some organizations may face limitations in their current infrastructure, making it challenging to fully adopt this model without significant upgrades or redesigns. This requires a tailored approach to figure out how Zero Trust strategy can be integrated without disrupting the existing systems.
Over the last 12 months, more than 70% of the cyber attacks have originated from the identity layers. Can you elaborate a little bit on how Zero Trust could reinforce your identity posture?
Yeah, identities isn't just about human users. Services and devices can authenticate as well. With Zero Trust network access, you can limit network and service access based on both users and device identities without relying on traditional VPNs. This enables that users and devices can only access specific applications or services they are authorized for, making security more transparent and seamless. When thinking about multi-factor authentication, combining biometrics with physically protected keys offers both speed and security, while adding an extra layer of protection beyond traditional passwords. Risk-based conditional access further enhances identity security by evaluating additional trust conditions, such as login location or device status. For example, if a login attempt originates from an unusual geographic location, the system may trigger additional authentication factors. This ensures that only trusted users and devices can access digital resources. Privileged identity management and privileged access management are key to enhancing identity security. These controls ensure that elevated permissions are only granted when necessary and for a limited time, minimizing the risk of unauthorized access to sensitive resources. For devices, endpoint privilege management ensures that users and systems only have the access they need at the level they need without excessive administrative privileges. All these measures reduce attack surface. To further strengthen the identity layer, the use of AI and machine learning can add another layer of intelligence, analyzing patterns and detecting anomalous behavior in real time. This can help respond faster to potential threats by flagging suspicious activity and vulnerabilities like insecure passwords or compromised devices. In combination, these strategies allow Zero Trust to reinforce the identity layer by ensuring that all access, whether by networks, users, or devices, is continuously verified, limited, monitored, and carefully managed.
This gives me a perfect segue to AI. As we know, AI is yet another major buzzword, right? Do you see it more as an opportunity or a threat?
AI is a clear opportunity to protect assets across multiple layers, enhancing detection and speeding up response times. We can't ignore that attackers are already using AI to develop more sophisticated attacks, such as generating convincing phishing emails or identifying vulnerabilities faster than ever before. If they're leveraging it, we must as well. Reflecting the buzzword, AI has been around in cybersecurity for years to automate fast threat detection. For example, to filter emails and to protect endpoints. The key is building the right framework around AI, especially when using Gen AI, to avoid mistakes. I recommend to run assessments to understand how vendors leverage AI and ensure it's secure and transparent. Misunderstanding AI capabilities can introduce risks, such as false positives or reliance on incomplete data, which would weaken defenses instead of strengthening them. In short, AI presents both opportunities and challenges. The crucial factor is how you prepare, monitor, and adjust the use of AI technologies to stay ahead of the evolving threat landscape.
Last question, it's always my favorite question. What's your best advice to retain your security talents?
First and foremost, I think it's important to promote talents. Swiss Vocational Training offers an excellent opportunity to do this. It's based on a dual system in which apprentices receive both practical training in a company and theoretical instructions at the vocational school. This combination enables learners to acquire professional skills directly in the working environment, for example, to experience in practice what a security job looks like on a day-to-day basis, while at the same time acquiring the necessary theoretical knowledge. This system is strongly geared towards the needs of the market and contributes significantly to the low youth unemployment rate in Switzerland. To retain talents, besides salary, flexible hours, remote work options, and mental health support, team spirit, along with incentives tied to performance and development milestones, plus the fact that employees have a voice in decision-making processes, can significantly boost job satisfaction and loyalty.
Thank you so much, Florian, for your time and insights. Don't forget to share, subscribe, and give us a good rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you like this episode. We also appreciate your comments on the show. Just drop us a note. Your feedback drives our improvements.